Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi. Wa na'udzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين إذا فعلوا فاحشة أو ظلموا أنفسهم ذكروا الله فاستغفروا لذنوبهم ومن يغفر الذنوب إلا الله صدق الله العظيم سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم My honorable, beloved, respected elders and brothers in Islam, Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayh has categorized fasting into different categories. Before we hear these categories, let us make a dua to Allah Ta'ala that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala lift us and Allah Ta'ala elevate us and our fasting to the highest of categories. He says one is the category of the general public. What is our fasting? Abstaining and keeping away from eating and drinking and fulfilling our carnal desires, and by and large that is where it stops. Then the next category, he says, is the fast of the awliya and the sulaha, the friends of Allah and the pious slaves of Allah, that their fasting is the same, keeping away from eating, keeping away from drinking, keeping away from fulfilling the carnal desires. But there is a plus one, there is an added abstinence. And that is keeping away from sin and the disobedience of Allah Ta'ala. Now this keeping away from sin and the disobedience of Allah is not only during the month of Ramadan. It is not only from Sehri to Iftar. But it is a continuous strive, it is a continuous struggle. We'll come back to that in a moment. We'll go to the next category of fasting, and that is the category of fasting of the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam. When the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam would fast, they would do the same, keep away from eating, drinking, fulfilling the carnal desires. Obviously, the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam were ma'asoom. They were sinless, so their abstinence from sin was par excellence. But they had one added aspect in their lives, and that was keeping away from ma siwallah, keeping away from everything but Allah. That is the ultimate that each and every one of us should strive for. Turning the pages of the ayat of the Quran, turning the pages of the ahadith of our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we cannot find a better example of the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam's abstinence from ma siwallah than that example of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam when he was in the fire and Jibreel alayhi salatu wassalam went to Allah, requested and said to Allah that your slave is burning in the fire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Jibreel alayhi salam, if you wish to do as you wish, then it is your pleasure. Jibrail alayhi salatu wasalam comes to that fire, and Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam asked him, did Allah send you? Did my Allah send you? That is mercy of Allah. He said, no, I have come on my own accord. Then Ibrahim alayhi salam said, there is no need for you. Friends, that is that mercy of Allah, that Allah bring us to that. That in everything we do, we realize, we understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَإِنَّ الْقُوَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. Everything Allah has total power over. Allah is fa'al lima yurid. Allah does as He wants, Allah does when He wants. But coming back to the second category, that one step that we need to take, that besides the abstinence of eating and drinking and refraining from eating and drinking and fulfilling our carnal desires, there is this one step we need to take, and that is to refrain from the disobedience of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. In one hadith, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it's a lengthy introduction to the hadith, so we'll just go bypass all of that. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, ittaqil maharim takun a'badan nas. Ittaqil maharim takun a'badan nas. The last part of this phrase, that you will become the most worshipping slave of Allah. When we speak about the most worshipping person, in our terms, the person who made the most ibadat, how do we categorize that person? How do we define someone who is one that makes the best and the most ibadat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? Do we categorize that person as one that reads a lot of Quran Sharif, which we should be doing, one that recites a lot of durood and salawat upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or one that makes other tasbihat in abundance, or is it one that makes an abundance of nafil salat? That is something that is preconceived in my mind and in the mind of many, that the more you read, the more namazes you make, the more tilawat you make, the more tasbihat you made, then you become more a greater worshipper of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But that is not what the hadith is telling us. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, ittaqil maharim. Stay away from what is haram. Stay away from what is haram. Takun a'badan nas. You will become the greatest worshipper of Allah. Allah grant us that. Friends, it is something that we overlook, especially in this month of Ramadan. Social media and other platforms is all telling us about a timetable that we should have, a routine that we should have, and we must have that. But it doesn't stop at the routine of the nafil ibadat that we do. We need to strive for the ultimate and the best, and that is to keep away from the disobedience of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was a young sahabi in the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the hadith of Hajjatul Wada, few months before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, he himself says, I had not yet attained bulugh. I still didn't become baligh. But he spent a lot of time with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We cannot go into all the details. But he subsequently became known as the Ra'isul Mufassir, the head and the leader of all the commentators of the Quran Sharif. He was known as Bahrul Ulum, an ocean of knowledge. He was known as Hibrul Ummah, the sage of this Ummah. Now when a personality like that is approached and is asked a question, tell me, we have two individuals. One person who reads a lot of salat, we're talking about nafil salat, over the fard and the wajib and the sunnah muakkada, that person performs a lot of nafil salat, lot of tilawat of the Quran, lot of tasbihat. And on the other hand, the person also indulges in sin. And we have the second person, fard, wajib, sunnah, muakkada, and that's where he stops. Not a lot of nafil, not a lot of tilawat, and please brothers, I'm not advocating that we shouldn't, we must. We must exert ourselves in nafil and all the other nafil ibadah that Allah has made available for us. But this person does not abstain from sin. Who is better? So he said the two are not comparable. You cannot compare the two. That person that keeps away from sin with the fard, wajibat, sunan, muakkada is far superior in the eyes of Allah. Takun a'badan nas. A typical example, why would we close the doors of the masjid? Because you have the aircon on. And if you open all the doors and all the windows, you defeat the objective of having the aircon on. Like that, nafil in abundance without keeping away from sin is like having the aircon on and all the windows and the doors wide open. There is an incident of a muazzin. Remember, the muazzin has a very high rutba, rank in the eyes of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. And this muazzin, like in the old days, he would go up the minara and he would call out the adhan. One is calling out the adhan and one is all that effort that he has to make to go up those steps. But nonetheless, on one occasion, he goes up the minara and he calls out the adhan. And as he is doing so, his eyes fall on a woman. And immediately there's turmoil in his heart. He completes the adhan and he comes down and he goes straight to that house and he proposes for the woman. The woman's family and herself, they were Majusi. They were fire worshippers, what we call Parsi people. And the father of that girl said to him, I will never give you my daughter unless you do not become a Farsi, you do not become a Zoroastrian, a fire worshipper. So at that moment, the man agrees. What great khidmat of deen, Allah save us, but what great khidmat of deen, one slip of the glance, one slip of the glance, he agrees. He agrees to leave the deen of Islam for this woman. And what happens as he goes back? He slips, he falls, and he loses his life in this state. Allah save us. So brothers, to us, there is sometimes this concept of a major sin and a minor sin. That is a shari'i issue. But the aspect of whatever is minor we can persist on, that is the difficulty that we go through as an ummah. The great Hasan al-Basri rahimahumullah, when he spoke about the concept of taqwa, from now and probably the last few days or weeks we've been hearing the ayah of fasting, la'allakum tattaqoon, what is the ultimate objective of roza, of fasting, so that you may acquire taqwa. What is taqwa? In the different forms of this word taqwa, it appears about 200 times in the Quran. What is taqwa? Hasan al-Basri rahimahumullah, he says taqwa is not bi kathrati sawm wa bi kathrati salah. It is not an abundance of nafil salat, not an abundance of nafil fast, but it is keeping away from ma harram Allah, from that which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has made haram. Now sometimes when we speak about this word taqwa, then Masjid al-Taqwa also comes to mind. But together with that, what is this taqwa? If a person has been committing sins, if a person slips, what is the requirement of taqwa? In the kitabs of tafsir, there is an incident of a person in the time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a young man. This young man, Allah blessed him with the habit of remaining in the masjid, number one, for long periods of time, and number two, remaining in the company of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Allah bless us with these two qualities to stay a little longer in the house of Allah. A little longer. And to do whatever ibadat, to make some tilawat of the Quran. The house of Allah is the fort of Allah Ta'ala. And then number two, to be in the company of the pious. And at that time, when he was Amirul Mu'mineen, who could be greater than Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu? Who could be more pious than Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu? Nonetheless, this youngster, Allah blessed him with these two qualities. He would leave the masjid late at night, and between the masjid and his house was a promiscuous, a shameless, indecent woman, a prostitute. And every day she would give him a dawat. Now there is a persistence of dawat, and there's temptations, there's inherent weaknesses of man, but this young boy would pass by her house and he would pass the test. He would pass by her house and he would pass the test. But one night he slipped. One night he got tempted. And when he got tempted, he followed this woman to her house. When he goes into the house, he falls unconscious. This reminds us of the words of Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he was speaking to his students, the tabi'een. He was saying to them that the difference between you and the ashabi rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the one marked difference between the two of you is that you people commit major sins, and it seems as though a little fly comes upon your nose and you've forgotten about it. Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and those pious predecessors, Abdullah ibn Abbas, you say, slightest slip, slightest error, and it is like a mountain that has come on their heads. They need to get rid of it. So nonetheless, the boy slips and he goes in, and as he goes in, he falls unconscious. The lady becomes afraid. She takes him out of the house and leaves him outside. His father comes looking for him. He finds the young boy unconscious. He picks his son up, and as he does so, the young boy gains consciousness, and he asks the boy what had happened. The young boy says to his father, "Oh my beloved father, I was coming from the masjid and I was invited by this woman. I slipped. I went into the house, and as I entered, the ayah of the Quran, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا إِذَا مَسَّهُمْ طَائِفٌ مِّنَ الشَّيْطَانِ تَذَكَّرُوا فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْصِرُونَ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا إِذَا مَسَّهُمْ طَائِفٌ مِّنَ الشَّيْطَانِ تَذَكَّرُوا فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْصِرُونَ This ayah began to echo in my head, in my mind, in my heart, in my ears. And the result is, I don't know what happened. The father said, "Son, you fell unconscious." As he is relating this to his father, mouth comes upon him and he passes away. Now let us look at this ayah. What message is coming from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala? And I may add very quickly, friends, we don't have this relationship with Quran. So what the expectation of Tarawih is, make it short, make it sharp, make it sweet. The Huffaz must read and they must go and we must go. But if we got this relationship like this young boy, then we'll understand the message of Allah. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you may attain taqwa in this month of Ramadan. Here is a boy that slept. The message of Allah is coming into his heart, into his mind, into his ears. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا, certainly those who have the quality of taqwa, when they are afflicted, when they are attacked by a group of the shayateen, of the shaitan, that attack may take place, that assault may take place. Tazakkaru, tazakkaru. What is Allah saying? They become mindful, they become aware. فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْصِرُونَ, and then they begin to see. They see with the eyes of their hearts. And when this youngster began to see the light, his body couldn't take it and he fell unconscious. And now in this state, when he's explaining the incident to his father, his mouth was written and he passes on. It was night, time of Sahaba, Tabi'in. They didn't wait. They had his ghusl and whatever, janaza, and then he was buried in Baqi. The next morning, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu hears about the demise of this young boy. He calls for the father. And Sayyidina Umar was upset that this was a person so close to me, but I was unable to be at his janaza. When the father explains to Sayyidina Umar what had happened, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu goes to the qabr of this young boy. Amir Mu'mineen stands at the qabr and he says to this young boy, Ya Ghulam, qala Allah Ta'ala, O young man, Allah Ta'ala said, وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَانَ, وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَانَ, for that person who has the fear of standing in front of Allah on the day of Qiyamah, for him there's two jannahs. What jannah of gold and jannah of silver? To his amazement, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu hears the voice of the youngster coming out from the qabr. O Amir al-Mu'mineen, you are merely reciting the ayah. I am experiencing it. Friends, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, we may slip, but do not slip, and even if we fall, do not remain in that state. Get up. Allah is there. Allah is prepared to forgive. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is prepared to hold our hand, and Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is prepared to lift us, and Allah Ta'ala is prepared to embrace us. And this brings us to one very important aspect of this month of Ramadan. Friends, whilst the hype and the preparation is for the month of Ramadan, let us expand it like this young boy. Expand it that our preparation be for the day of Liqa'ullah, the day when we will meet Allah. That is the ultimate. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala guide us all. May Allah Ta'ala accept whatever we have done. May Allah Ta'ala accept whatever we intend doing in the month of Ramadan. May Allah Ta'ala accept all our ibadat and everything else. Together with that, may Allah Ta'ala alleviate the difficulties of the Ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the various parts of the world, especially in Gaza. Brothers and friends, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the understanding that it is a month of Ramadan that Allah has given us, and we need to maximize, but maximize for what? For the day we meet Allah. May Allah give us a tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.